That's Pearl Harbor singing Wanda Jackson's Fujiyama Mama in 1982 with The Clash. At the time, Pearl was married to Clash bassist Paul Simonon, and she had just released her solo album, Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too, after splitting with her band The Explosions. That album is now being reissued, and so we thought it's time to track down Pearl in California, where she's ready to talk about the reissue of this overlooked record and working and playing with the likes of Wilco Johnson, Ian Dury, Lemmy, and The Tubes. But first, let's have a look at Pearl's first record.
Hey, the original.
There you go. So before we get into the record, tell me just where and who you were when this was released.
That was 1978, I think.
Okay.
In San Francisco.
Yep.
And we just made that was sort of like a demo single, but it did, and I gave it to Beverly Wilshire, who was a DJ on KSAN, rock and roll radio station in San Francisco. And she wasn't allowed to play things that weren't on the playlist, but she snuck it in.
Yeah.
And then it got a whole bunch of, what do you call it, requests.
Yep.
And so that's actually how we got our deal on Warner Brothers. Was
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I used to do radio in a similar type of radio station in Rochester, and we had similar lists that we weren't supposed to play this or that. And,
yeah,
it's very frustrating being a music fan. And you got all this great music around and you can't share it with everybody. And you ended up in San Francisco from Germany, correct? You grew up in Germany?
Yeah, that's right. I'd never been to San Francisco, but I knew that I wanted to go there just because my army father, he got Time magazine and Life magazine, and they were always showing, articles about, the Bay Area hippies. And I was
a counterculture.
I was a little hippie girl in 1973, and I wasn't doing well at school, and I was always in trouble.
Right.
And so I said to my parents, look, you do me a favor and I'll get out of your hair and send me to San Francisco. And they said, okay. And, I'm 17 years old, never been there. And my dad gets me a ticket and hands me $100 and says, bye.
Nice. Well, it could have been worse.
I know. He could have not given me any money.
Exactly.
I immediately got a job at a thrift shop for 75 cents an hour.
Nice. There you go. That's big money back then.
Well, not really.
And you ended up with The Tubes, right?
I sure did, because I saw them, and then soon after I saw them, they had a talent contest. So I entered their talent contest as a tap dancing boxer, and
as you do.
They liked that.
Yep.
And so I won that. And then I got, the prize was that I got to dance with them for 3 weeks at Bimbo's. Have you ever been to San Francisco?
A couple of times briefly, yes.
Mm-hmm. So Bimbo's was a really cool, it still is there. So it is a really cool nightclub, and it's fairly big. So I got to do, 3 weeks worth of shows, tap dancing and boxing. And then they slowly started putting me in more and more numbers. And then they asked if I wanted to do shows with the band just temporarily. And I said, sure. So I did that on and off for a year or two.
Right.
But only in California. I never traveled to Europe.
And who was the other girl? That was Ree Styles, right?
Ree was the only female who was a real member of The Tubes. And then Jane Doornacker wrote Don't Touch Me There, which is my favorite.
That's a classic.
and then she had a band called Leela and the Snakes, which at that time was all girls. So she asked me to join her band. And then as time went on, the girls would leave, get disgruntled and leave. So she started hiring boys.
Right.
And yeah.
So you did the Pearl Harbor thing, and then you ended up in London because you're hanging out with Cosmo Vinyl, and then ultimately with the rest of the Clash, and which leads us to the album Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too. Which now, before we get into the record, because I'm an Ian Hunter fan myself, as Ron will tell you, I'm a big mouth. And Ellen Foley was doing a record around the same time, and she was dating Mick Jones, I think. So this is also recorded at Wessex, where you recorded. I'm just curious if there was any cross-pollination interaction between you and Ellen.
Ellen and I were recording at different times of the day, I think, because we had a listening party for Sandinista, for Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too. And then what's the name of Ellen's record?
Spirit of St. Louis.
Spirit of St. Louis. So, the listening party was for all three of our records, but I never actually saw Ellen in the studio, but I was aware of her because she was Mick's girlfriend.
Right.
She's a very nice lady, very nice person.
And that's a lot of music being made in one place at one time, with Sandinistas ended up being a triple album.
Right. And so when I was recording Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too, Joe was next door mixing the album with Mick. And we would go in and out of each other's studios all the time because
right.
Paul and Topper were in the studio with me.
Gotcha.
But they'd finished recording already with the
right.
Clash.
So at this point, the band Pearl Harbor and the Explosions has kind of dissipated, and you were a solo artist. So what were you mm-hmm. thinking? Judging from what I hear on the album, you listened to a lot of music from the 50s and early 60s, girl bands
yeah.
and doo-wop and things like that. So
yeah.
Take it from there, please.
Well, Pearl Harbor and the Explosions was the first band I was in, you know, as a songwriter and as a front person. And I was pretty green, didn't really know what I was doing, because if I did, I wouldn't have started a band with these three musicians, because they were into jazz fusion and I was into rock and
Yeah.
roll. So I, you know, they were coming up with these songs and saying, write lyrics to this. And I'd say, you know, no offense to them because they're still my friends, but I'd say, I don't like this.
Right.
They'd say, well, too bad, because we wrote it and we like it. And that's what we were. Aside from Drivin', I remember when rehearsing for Drive-In, and I said, oh, I like that, because it was boom, 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 boom. And that, of course, that was bass line. And I liked that song, but that's kind of the only song that I liked. So at any rate, I said to myself, I think really I should be playing with different musicians after a while. So we went on tour to promote the album. And then Cosmo, who I had become close with, I met him through Ian Dury and the Blockheads, because Ian Dury did that 1977 US tour, and that was his one and only tour.
Right.
So they were rehearsing in the same place we were, and Cosmo invited me in to, you know, see Ian Dury. You want to see the best rock and roll band in the world? I said, sure I do. And then I said, who's the band? And he said, ever heard of Ian Dury and the Blockheads? I said, yes, because we'd played with Elvis Costello, and Elvis had told us
yeah.
all of it, Stiff Records and Reckless Eric and Nick Lowe and all that. So I really, and then everything fell into place because of Cosmo.
Right. So now music-wise, the album starts out with a track called Alone in the Dark, which mm-hmm. to me, in my ears, reminds me of something like Riot and Cell Block Number 9 by the Coasters,
right.
or the Robins, or whoever it was
calling
themselves at that time. So what was your fascination with 50s rock?
I don't know. It's the music that spoke to me. I like 60s soul,
uh-huh.
like 60s girl groups and soul. And then for rock and roll, I like 50s, because I like Gene Vincent and Eddie Cochran. And, I collected Elvis records, but he wasn't my number one, you know. And then, of course, I loved Wanda Jackson, and I loved her more than Janis Martin or... I love Brenda Lee too, but I liked the vocals on all those records, and they were all sort of short and sweet songs, and no nonsense, and that's what I wanted, and that's kind of what Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too is.
Right.
It's no nonsense.
Yeah, because I see you
Just
cover
what,
Fujiyama Mama, Wanda
yeah.
Jackson. Have
Yes.
you ever met Wanda or seen her
Oh
perform? Yeah.
yeah. I've seen her perform many times, and I have all my albums, which are many. She signed all of them. She was so sweet. You know, how many of these do you have? Same with Dolly Parton. When I met
Right.
Dolly, I had all my Dolly records, and she was saying, "Look at me. How do you? I don't even remember all these albums." And I said, "Well, I do."
Good on you. And the other person that kind of comes to mind, especially on everybody's Boring But My Baby, is the Ronettes and Ronnie Spector.
Yes.
Everybody's boring but my baby. He wears a kind of clothes that I adore. We share a love like I never dreamed before. To go with you now seems such a doggone shame. Ain't no other guy I know who makes me feel this way. Everybody's boring but my baby.
Absolutely. That was my number one girl groups. And even though I love the Shangri-Las and I loved all of them, the Marvelettes, everybody, but the Ronettes really spoke to me because the way they looked, they just looked so badass, you know. And that's, and if, I was a little kid when they came out, but that's what I wanted to be, was I wanted to be Ronnie Spector.
It's not a bad thing to be. Just as long as you don't have to be married to Phil Spector.
That's right. You got, yes, Marty, you're right.
So tell me, you got all these, you got three quarters of Clash on your record. You got Mickey Gallagher producing. You're recording at Wessex Studios, which is like the hippest studio in the country. What were the sessions like? What do you remember them? What was the vibe like? How did they work?
Well, at first I was kind of shy because I didn't know any of them that well, but the reason why they liked me was, well, first of all, Cosmo introduced me to everybody and said, you know, this is an American girl, collects records, knows her musical history, wants to make a record that sounds like all these people that you just mentioned. And they all said, that's fine. So they were all into it. Then when we started rehearsing, I could see that they liked the music, and you know, it was very easygoing, and everybody behaved because, you know, I'm a girl, and so there was no shenanigans going on, you know, no drugs or anything like that. I didn't go for any of that. But I mean, truthfully, Wilco was a speed freak, but I
Right.
just didn't say anything about that because he didn't do it in front of me.
Right.
And Wilco's was a funny guy because he didn't eat, he didn't drink alcohol. All he did was drink tea, and he didn't smoke cigarettes, and then he go take bathroom breaks all the time, you know. So,
Yeah, you always
but
get the impression from watching him he was just all hopped up on caffeine or something.
no, with speed, he's no longer with us, but you know, yeah, Wilco and Lemmy, the two of them were speed freaks that never really, they could handle it.
Right.
They knew what they were doing with their
Right. Right. Yeah. Yep.
yeah.
Lemmy's great. Gotta love
Yeah.
him. So did
Yeah.
you hung out with him as well?
I did hang out with Lemmy because there was a pub that was really near the recording studio, and a pub that was near the rehearsal studio, and Lemmy drank at both of those pubs, so I would see him from time to time. And he loved my rockabilly guitar player Nigel Dixon, who had a band called Whirlwind, and he loved Nigel and Whirlwind because Lemmy really liked 50s rock and roll and rockabilly too.
Yep. I went to London in the late 80s with a band that Ron knows, the Uncle Sam guys, and we ran into Lemmy in a pub, believe it or not, and had a beer with him. It was the highlight of the
Of course it was. What a
trip.
guy. He is so
Exactly.
funny.
So what instigated this reissue to happen at this time after, 40 years of the record coming out?
I know, I'm so lucky. They approached me. This other record company had re-released The Pearl Harbor and the Explosions, and then Liberation Hall said, "Hey, why don't we do the same thing for Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too?" And I said, "Great," because Warner Brothers did a great promotional job on Pearl Harbor and the Explosions, but they did zero on Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too, because they didn't like it. They were so disappointed that I broke up the band, and they were so disappointed that I handed them a rockabilly, crazy rock and roll record. This was before the Stray Cats or anything, so they were like, "What is this?" And I said, "It's good music, man." And they were like, "No, it isn't. No hits." That's what they said. No hits.
Well, not if they don't make them a hit. That's their
That's what
job.
I said. That's what I said. "Well, you can do that. That's your responsibility." And they were like, "No, the song has to be there." But
Right. So my understanding is after the record, you kind of went on the road with the Clash a bit, did you?
yeah, well, at first, Paul and Topper played with me in London while I was putting the band together. Then on bass, I ended up with Davey Payne, the saxophone player from Ian Dury. His little brother Barry was a really good bass player, so I got him. And Paul's little brother is a great drummer, so I got him on one set of drums. And then the other set was Blair Cunningham, who went on to play with the Pretenders and Paul McCartney after me. But so I had two drummers. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. I think you probably are. So yeah, and then Nigel and Steve New, who recorded the record with me, they also went on tour with me everywhere.
And there's a couple of on the extras that are on here. There's some B-sides, some singles, and a couple of demos at the end. So it indicates that you were doing more stuff. I noticed one demo, one of the tracks. I can't tell you on the phone. It sounded a little like Brown Eyed Handsome Man, the Chuck Berry tune. So what was the plan with that? What happened with those tracks?
Those tracks, I recorded them at the same time I recorded the album, but I felt that those were the weaker songs of all of them, so I left them out, because the record company only wanted 10 songs or something.
Yeah, so there's 19 on this one. It's great. They don't sound weak here.
Oh, thanks.
What does it sound like to you hearing this back, 40 years later?
Well, I never play my records, so I hadn't played it in a really long time. The only time I ever would play it is if someone would come over and say, "I want to hear one of your records," and I'd always play "Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too" because it was my favorite one. So, when I played it, it just made me reminisce about all the fun I had. And London in the 80s, you can't, I mean, according to me, you can't get any better than that. And hanging around with the Clash and the Injury and the Blockheads, you can't get any better than that either, according to me. So I just, really lucked out.
So I see there's a clip on YouTube of you singing with the Clash in Japan doing Fujiyama Mama or something. That must have been a ball. What was it like being on the road with those guys?
It was fantastic. I am a big Clash fan, so it doesn't matter whether I went out with Paul or not. So I got to see every show, and I never was just hanging out backstage while if they were on stage, I was watching from the sound booth. That's where I also lucked out, was it, the sound booth is sort of like in the middle of the audience. No one can touch you. You can see the band because you're raised up. And so I had a bird's eye view of the Clash every night at their shows, and it was just fantastic. And they're fun people to hang around with. I have to admit they're all a lot more fun after they've had a drink or two, especially Joe. But and then Mick was always smoking his spliffs and whatever. So yeah, but they're good guys, and I really enjoyed myself with them, and they treated me with respect, and it was just wonderful.
Cool. So I hate to ask this question, but what happened after that music-wise for you? Did you do much at all, or did you move on to
Yeah.
other things?
Well, after Warner Brothers dropped me after I made Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost Too, they were upset because I didn't list the museum musicians, and they all were also upset because they didn't like the music. But what I did was the one single that's on there, Voodoo Voodoo, I went in the studio right away with Wilco, and we just cut those two tracks really quickly because Wilco doesn't do any overdubs, none.
Right.
And everything is on a four-track reel to reel, and you have to do it all in one take, including the vocals. And that was interesting and fun. And then after that, Epic Sony signed me in Japan, and I made an album called Pearls Galore. And then I took it to Island Records in London, and they liked it. So they signed me and had me re-record all of those songs, except for a few of them. They said, "We don't really like this song or this song." So I added some different songs. So there's two versions of Pearls
Pearls
Galore.
galore.
There's a Japanese and an English. And then after that, I moved back to San Francisco. Paul and I split up, and I moved back to San Francisco. And then I put a rock and roll band together, and we made a CD in '95 called, oh God,
Oh.
Here Comes Trouble.
Okay.
And then after that, I've been performing. I still do. Well, I'm sick with lung cancer right now, but I can't, I know, so I can't sing right now, but I have to
It's
wait
got
till
to be
October.
frustrating.
Very frustrating. But I have a country band right now.
Okay, cool.
Really good, really good band.
Yeah, I think once you get old enough, you come around to country. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania when I was a little kid, and I hated country. It was what all the old people listened to, you know?
I know. I think
I was a
everybody would
punk rocker.
like.
But now it's great.
Except Dolly Parton kept me
There you
interested.
go. Can't go wrong with Dolly. She's still cooking them. She's an inspiration, isn't she?
Absolutely. She's everything.
Yeah.
Wish she were running for president.
Yeah, there you go. Her and Taylor Swift on a
That'd be okay with me.
why not? Yeah. I mean, the whole political thing, I don't know how much you want to get into that, but it's pretty scary from watching it from outside.
Yeah, it's pretty scary to me too. I'm terrified, but since you're in New Zealand, you can sort of ignore it, but I can't. All
Yeah.
I can say is if Americans in America are listening to this, vote.
Vote. There you go.
Please go vote for Biden, please.
Yes. Now, the most important question I have for you, though, you mentioned your record collection that you had that you were listening to. What happened to that? Did you carry it around with you all over the place?
Yeah, I still have it. I still
Yay.
have tons of records, and everybody who's a record collector comes over and looks at my records and says, "Wow."
And do you have a couple of special ones that are, you know, stick out in your mind?
To tell you the truth, right now, since I have a country band, there's a new sort of bluegrass country artist named Sierra Farrell. Have you
Oh,
heard
yeah.
of her?
Yep. I've heard of her.
I just love her. I'm so happy that there's a new young woman who looks great, sounds great, writes great songs. She's a great fiddle player, guitar player. She's a good dancer. She's everything.
Yeah.
So I really like her. So she's the new artist that I love. But other than that, you know, I will always play the girl groups. The Marvelettes is probably my most played
Right.
girl group, because they just sing so great. You know, Darlene Love, I think, was Darlene Love in the
No, Darlene
Marvelettes?
Love was Crystals.
The Crystals, of course, sorry. And anyways, the Marvelettes had really great songs, and I know all the lyrics, so that's
Don't mess
fun.
with Bill.
Don't with Bill. We used to do that in the Explosions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Live,
And are there live tapes and things out there that need to be released?
Yeah, there are, but you know, I wasn't very good about collecting my own stuff. So there's loads of live tapes of Pearl Harbor and the Explosions and of my band in London, and I've never been able to get a hold of any
Well,
of
somebody will
that.
find it somewhere.
Yeah,
Somebody's got
I
it.
know,
It'll
I
come
know.
out.
Yeah, but I ha would have to become somewhat successful first, otherwise they're not interested.
Success is relative.
I'm agreeing with you.
Excellent. So what are you going to do? This release comes out on the 22nd. You got any plans for the day?
Well, not really, because like I said, I'm not well, and all the musicians are in London.
Right.
Ones that are alive, Steve New has passed, Nigel Dixon has passed. You know, Joe has passed, but Joe wasn't on the record. But Joe always came in and riled us all up, especially me. I sang Fujiyama Mama while he was staring at me.
Oh, geez.
So I
That's
did it in one.
impressive.
Yeah,
That could
with
be
his
intimidating.
arms. Well, it kind of was, but I wanted to impress him. And so I just yelled and growled it out. And afterwards, his eyeballs were big and he said, wow, that was great. And so Fujiyama Mama was one take. Where are you? You talk about me. Say that I'm mean. I'll blow your head off.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to meet you and see you and talk to you and hear about this record and revisit it after all these years. So hope it does well,
Yeah,
and hope
thanks.
hopefully you are well as well and recover and all that stuff. So
Yeah, I plan on it.
Good plan. All righty.
At any rate, it's great to meet you, Marty, and I'm really thankful that you are you like the record and
Oh
are
yeah.
interested
And if
in
you
it.
ever come down this way, let me know.
Will do. Thank you, Marty. You
All
take
right.
care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.